Turn in your Bibles, if you would like to, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first 14 verses only. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a tremendous section of Scripture in which we are given a trio of great promises. Number one, that we are chosen by God. We are His elect. Number two, that we are redeemed by Christ. And number three, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you stop and think about it, you can't ask for a whole lot better promises than that. We start out in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Typical, very typical type of salutation by the Apostle Paul. Notice here that he refers to them as saints and faithful in Christ. Folks, he's not talking about two categories of people. When he is talking about the saints, he is talking about the faithful in Christ. Notice then verses 3 through 6. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. By the way, that word, that expression, in Christ, appears roughly 30 or more times in the book of Ephesians. You think the idea that the Apostle Paul the Holy Spirit via the Apostle Paul was trying to get across to us is we have to be in Christ? That we have to be baptized into Him, and when we're baptized into Him, we put Him on. That we're raised up and walk in newness of life. I believe that's what His idea and goal was here. But we see very quickly that all spiritual blessings are located in the heavenly places in Christ, where He resides now. Folks, we should never get confused, should never try to confuse the physical blessings that God bestows upon us. If you go over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, we learn there that the sun rises and shines on the evil and the good alike. Just like the rain rains on the just and the unjust alike. Wouldn't it be a strange world? If when this rain came through last night, the only people that got rain were the just people. And we woke up the next morning, can you imagine flying over this part of the country, or any part of the world for that matter, and seeing, well, here this is all burnt up and brown, and this one over here is burnt up and brown, this one is too, but here's a little patch that's green and lush. Well, we know who's faithful. That's not how it works, but we do know that the spiritual blessings are always in Christ. They can be enjoyed only by those who are in Christ. But then notice what he says in verse 4. Here's the key in this part. According as he hath, listen, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We're going to look at all these here in just a second. But verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now back up here. First of all, we have been chosen by God. We are his elect. That is a promise by itself. You know, if we didn't have anything else to go by in the Scriptures that told us that we really are honored by God to be called His children. See, He chose us. Now, this particular section has caused a lot of people in the religious world to really get confused about what predestined means here. You see, too many of them in the religious world thinks that God has already chosen each individual here to either salvation or condemnation. And that somehow, no matter what you do, if you're in this particular class and you want to be in this particular class of people, let's say you're in the lost side, but you want to be saved, nothing you can do will ever change that. Because you see, from the foundation of the world, God already made you that. Well, of course, that's not what he's talking about. Can you imagine somebody finding out, well, wait a minute, I want to be saved. I want to do what you tell me to do, God. It doesn't matter. Sorry. You're already predetermined. You're going to be lost eternally. Yeah, but what if I follow your will completely? I'm sorry. You know, wouldn't that make God a respecter of persons? That he picks Nate to be saved, but he doesn't pick me. And there's nothing I can do. Now, Nate would be kind of silly if he had been chosen by God to be saved to say, well, I want to be lost. God, forget this nonsense about being saved. That would be kind of odd, but wouldn't it be weird that you couldn't make a choice for yourself? And yet we know that's not true, because you go over to Acts chapter 10, 34, and Peter says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't look upon us like that. But he continues on here by saying that we've been predestined under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you realize that God is pleased when somebody obeys the gospel? Amen. God is pleased when we follow his commandments, when we keep his will. We can, it sounds kind of odd to me sometimes, being a mere human being, that I can actually make God happy. Mm-hmm. Somebody as pathetic as me can please God and make him happy. And yet we see it was to his good pleasure. Now we're going to have to hurry, so let's get on to verse 7 and verse through verse 12. In whom, okay, we're just talking about we are adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now notice verse then, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed by Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. What a marvelous blessing that is. See, here's the second part of this trio of promises. We can be redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have to come in contact with that blood of Christ. We have to be obedient to God's will. But it is a possibility. Notice, go on in verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That word prudence just simply means good or sound judgment. I don't think we should expect anything different from God. Having made known unto us the mystery. What is the mystery under consideration? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The mystery of his will, listen, according to his, here we go again, good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Folks, this good pleasure, it pleased God to give us the means by which we can be saved. It pleased God that we have this mystery, this gospel of Jesus Christ, in order to live our life the way he would have us live it. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That expression, the fullness of time, reminds me at least a little bit of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Stop and think about that for just a moment and tie it here. That is the dispensation of the fullest time. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and here on earth. Nothing that God does is just by accident. God didn't wake up one morning, as we might think of it, and say, I believe I'm going to send my son today. Hadn't given a whole lot of thought until now, but I believe I'll do that today. God isn't like that. He's not capricious. He doesn't just do stuff like that. From the very foundation and before of the world, God knew the exact time, exact moment that all things would be fulfilled in his Son and right to the end of the ages as well. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him. How are we predestined? As a class of people. as people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's made it available to us. In fact, when you look at this concept in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, I can't help but think about Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. We are heirs. We're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, then we're joint heirs with Christ. Well, what a promise. We're heirs of God because we are all citizens of heaven. Amen. Our citizenship is, yes, we're Americans and that's wonderful, but our real citizenship is somewhere else. Amen. It's in heaven. Now notice, if you will, very quickly, verses 13 and 14. We've been chosen by God. We've been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. And we see kind of an encapsulation of that. But then via the Holy Spirit, God is going to give us a bonus here. He's going to give us a little bit of a bonus. Paul's going to write these words. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you talk about the word of truth, you're talking about the gospel that saves souls. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. In whom also after that ye believed. Now listen, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that is a guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as that earnest, as that down payment, as that guarantee until all things are finalized. Boy, what a great trio of promises. Let me ask you something though. Have you availed yourself of those promises? Amen. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Are you ready to repent of your sins? Jesus said very plainly, He said, except you believe, you shall all likewise perish. Do we believe? Do we have that faith? And are we ready to repent? Acts chapter 17, verse 31. We have to repent. Are you ready to repent of your sins? Are you ready to confess the name of Christ? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Paul would write there that with the mouth confession is made unto. That's looking toward salvation. It's for the purpose of salvation. You see, if you believe, if you've heard the Word of God preached, and you believe with all your heart, and you want to make that change in your life that produces a change of action, that's repentance, if you're ready to confess the name of Christ before men, then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. You're ready for that process of baptism to save you, the Apostle Peter would write. 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 and 21. The like figure, even baptism also now saves you. Now here's the question. And it's the exact same one that Ananias would pose to Saul of Tarsus. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, and you can have this marvelous trio of promises that God has blessed every Christian with. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God. You strayed away. You've not been living as God would have you live. And you're ready to come back. Oh, it's such a great thing to know that God is like that. The father of the prodigal son. He saw him from a great distance off and rushed out and wrapped his arms around him and kissed him and put the clothing on him and the ring on him and his sandals on him. That's the way God is. God wants us to come back. But whatever your need may be, if you're looking for a church home, we want you to know that we are people who are striving to be what the Bible tells us to be. Nothing less than that will do. But if we can help you out in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing this song?